Just use InsideSTL at Harry's.com. Harry's owns their own factory, and they've been churning out quality for almost a century. And it's not just the quality that I like. I can't get enough of the Easy Glide and Razor Close Shave. Harry's has an amazing offer for listeners of the show. New customers get $5 off a trial set from Harry's with code InsideSTL at Harry's.com. That means you can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and travel cover, all for just $3 plus free shipping when you use code InsideSTL at Harry's.com. Go to Harry's.com today. Use code InsideSTL at checkout to claim your offer.
Setley Jewelers has been family-owned since 1946. They offer jewelry for special occasions and offer appraisals, repairs, and custom jewelry pieces.
Recently, I had a couple come in, and she had lost her mom, and she brought her jewelry in, and we took all her stones out, and we recreated these pieces that she could wear and just continue, you know, passing down to her kids.
Setley Jewelers in Lamp and Lantern Village in Town and Country. Online at setley.com.
Hey, St. Louis, where can you go for the best selection on your new appliance purchase? Yes, that's right. Appliance Discounters, and we're now featuring The Art of Appliances by AD for that creative palette. See The Art of Appliances with a variety of color options along with the full line of Bosch appliances at our newest location in Maplewood at the Deer Creek Shopping Center. At Appliance Discounters, there's no limit on design and color options, and we want to bring these choices to our customers. Shop any of our 6 locations or online at theappliancediscounters.com.
Hey, this is Tim McKernan here for Design Air Heating and Cooling. Not just here to tell you about a client, I'm here to tell you that I am a client. If you haven't had your furnace checked out and you want to make sure it will operate safely and efficiently this winter, call Design Air. And now, take advantage of their 115th anniversary special of an $85 furnace tune-up. For all of your heating needs, call the official HVAC provider of the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Design Air Heating and Cooling. Contact them at designairservice.com.
We all have a lot of things we're going to do one day. One day I'll change my career. One day I'll get my bachelor's degree. Well, today is the day to be brave. Because Maryville University offers more than 30 degrees online, including bachelor's degrees, with no entrance exams and no application fees. We've been empowering students for nearly 150 years, so we know there's no time like the present to focus on your future. Learn more now at online.maryville.edu.
One of those songs that most people can identify, especially if you're over 50, in two notes. Heard it through the grapevine.
Yeah.
With the instrumentation provided and arrangements by the Funk Brothers, who played on over 100 Motown hits. The same guys on bass, on tambourine, on keyboard, on the drums. And I haven't mentioned it for a while. There's a great documentary called Standing in the Shadows of Motown. And it's the story of the Funk Brothers and interviews with the Funk Brothers. It's fantastic. So if you haven't seen it, check it out. So here's the deal. We are going to do the Burke segment after I talk to Ron, who's been holding a long time. And then after the Burke segment, we'll do whatever you want. We'll answer your questions. We'll tell you a story. What do you want? Let us know. We got an hour to play. Let me talk to Ron, and then, well, look, I'm going to give you the numbers. 855-282-8255 or 314-821-0590. And from here on, listeners, you will drive the show, not me. I did my thing. I don't want to overdo it, but it's really yours now. Ron, thank you for waiting. Welcome to 590 The Fan. How are you?
Hi there, Frank. I'm going to try to make this real quick. I know your time is valuable.
No, it's not. Take your time.
I want to make two quick points. You are considered a Vietnam veteran. The state of Missouri has a medallion for anybody, citizen of the state of Missouri, who served during that period from 1959 to 1975, even though they weren't over in that theater. I got one myself, and you could be eligible for that.
Okay, I understand that, but I don't acknowledge it, and I don't accept it. And my own definition of a Vietnam veteran is someone who went to Vietnam. And I know exactly what you're saying, but it's my choice to not take advantage of that and give it to the people who actually deserve
Absolutely,
it.
Absolutely, yeah. My second point is I ran across a magnificent museum out in Angel Fire, New Mexico, this past September. We were doing a quick trip out there doing some movie scene sites for Easy Rider when it was done out in that territory. Angel Fire is north of Taos, New Mexico. I saw this sign that said Vietnam Veteran Memorial. It caught my attention. We were in a hurry, but I thought, I'm going to check this out. I left my beloved in the car. The altitude wasn't agreeing with her. I said, I'll be back in a few minutes. I thought it'd be similar to the one down in Perryville, Missouri. A door in the back of this structure I walked in and I froze. I said, somebody pulled out all the stops for this one. I told myself, each service is represented in that museum. I sat down for the 90-minute movie entitled Dear America, narrated by a variety of celebrities. It is the only museum I visited from Hiroshima to Paris that has Kleenex tissues posted throughout, like, centuries.
Wow.
The library has a wall full of books on the conflict. I was familiar with Keith Nolan's books. He died here in Old Mines, Missouri a few years ago. The desk has volumes from each state listing killed in actions and their hometown. Hmm. And I asked the docent, do many visitors come out here in this such a remote area? And she said, absolutely. It was started by a man who lost his son in Vietnam and had the capacity to do it and the wherewithal, the money to do it.
Right.
So that when I told my beloved, I'll be back in a few minutes, it turned into just over 2 hours in that museum. Fabulous.
That you left her in the car.
Yeah, yeah.
Are you still married?
Yeah, she was comfortable. She was comfortable.
Okay.
Don't worry about it. She was comfortable. As long as she was warm, she was comfortable. But those 2 minutes turned into 2 hours, and for those who never got back here in the United States, it's an eternity.
That's true.
That's all I got. So there is a museum, I think, being started down in Perryville, Missouri. They have a wall down there now, but I think the museum is still in a work in progress right now.
You know, Ron, let me tell you this. There's a plaque. It's buried somewhere in the bottom of a box in the bottom of my basement, and it's a plaque that was given to me by Kit Bond when he was the governor of Missouri, and I had to go to Jefferson City to receive it, and with it is a picture of me in my Army uniform, and he's handing it to me. It's one of those photo ops where, you know, it's like we're shaking hands, he's handing me the plaque. I cannot even tell you what it was for. I can't tell you what it says.
Right.
I have no idea why I was sent over there to receive it. That's how insignificant I feel what I did was. And every once in a while, my kids will say, hey, Dad, don't you have something? Yeah, somewhere in the basement. I don't like when people try to make mountain out of a molehill, meaning try to make something that they did seem bigger than it really was, right, or more important than it really was. And it just, it wasn't. And I don't even know until just now when you said, you know, you're a Vietnam veteran. And I thought, that doesn't sound right. That's the first time I've thought about that plaque in probably 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
But it's down there somewhere. Thank you for your call. I appreciate it. Where was this thing again, this memorial?
Angel Fire, New Mexico. I used to ski out there. A slope almost took me out there years ago. And Angel Fire, New Mexico is north of Taos or Santa Fe, New Mexico.
And why don't we ever hear more about this?
About the museum?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. I guess
you know who we need to send there? Bill Clevelin.
Yep.
That's who we need to send.
Yes,
there.
Absolutely. Get him out there. Get him out in this little area he goes to around here. Get him out farther.
Yeah. Yeah. And get him his video, because he does great video work, and let's have a little video and a little tutorial and narration on this Angel Fire thing.
Check the one out in Perryville, south of here on 55, and that one's in a work in progress, I think, right now.
Okay.
And they have the wall down there. They have the actual replica of the wall down in Perryville.
Great. All right. Thank you. Thank you for the info. Appreciate
it. Okay. Bye.
All right, Ron. Goodbye. 855-282-8255, 314-821-0590. Before I take the next call, round the room, Limey, do you ever wish you'd served in the military?
Yes, sometimes.
It's okay to say no, by the way. It's okay. If somebody says, I'm not sorry.
I would have, I probably would have benefited from having that, what is it, that strict training and all that stuff like that. Probably would have helped out.
Dan, do you ever wish you'd gone in the military?
Oh, yeah. I almost went in the Air Force, and I wish I would have. I was very close.
Did they not take you because of your eyes or something?
Oh, no, no. I decided not to go. I went down, took the test and everything, got back on the bus with people that had failed the test several times, and they were all excited. And after I had been down there in that building taking the test, it was on Goodfellow, I think.
Mart building?
It was some, I don't know. I thought it was on Goodfellow. It was a government building.
Right.
And I went down, took the test, and he said, everyone in this bus has passed, and people were like, I'll go in tomorrow if you let me, and everybody, and I looked at him, and I said, I don't know if this is for me. And he, oh man, I thought he was going to kick me off the bus.
But you know what? There's nothing wrong with that. That's an honest answer.
Yeah.
And Tim, did you ever wish you'd been in the military?
Absolutely not, for two reasons. Number one is because my father fought in Vietnam, and he had two Purple Hearts, and I saw how mentally messed up he and a lot of his friends were when they came back from there, and that always stuck with me throughout my childhood. And then the first time we ever invaded Iraq, I was actually working as a roller skating rink DJ, and we actually stopped the music, and we had a big sliding screen, and we stopped, and everybody on the roller skates sat down, and we watched the invasion and the first bombing of Iraq, which would have been around 1990, and had I joined the military, I probably would have been deployed there. So, no, absolutely not.
Well, I don't have any problem with somebody who says, no, I don't wish I'd gone in the military, and in interest of full disclosure, I'm not ashamed to say this. When I knew my lottery number was a low number. We had a lottery. That was the draft. And they took 365 dates. That's how many days were in the year. And they just started drawing like Powerball. And I don't know the numbers in the order, but let's say the first date drawn, if that date was, Dan, when's your birthday?
August 4th.
Then you're number one. Guess what? You're going in. Number two's going in. I don't know how far in they got where you could sort of go, whew, okay, I'm safe. I think if you had like 200, 250, my number was 23. I knew. So I had two choices. Wait till I get my notice, go here, show up here, sign in here, swear in here, and here's where you're going. Or I could voluntarily just go in and just go on and do it. And I could do what's called regular Army or Reserve. You could pick one or the other. And I picked the Army Reserves. But I will tell you that I think it was the Mart building downtown where they give you your physical, I was scared to death because I knew that what was happening with people, some of the people who went to Vietnam. And I actually tried to get out of it with my vision, because my vision, I was so severely nearsighted that I had been told that in battle, if your glasses got knocked off and you had no idea who was who and you couldn't make it, and I couldn't have, if I'd lost my glasses in battle, I wouldn't have known if the person 4 feet from me was Vietnamese or American. I couldn't see squat. And so I was under the impression that if you were that nearsighted, they wouldn't take you. And I found out later that I was wrong. And I remember at the vision station, there's a urinalysis station, there's a station where they make you do squats and push-ups and to see how your muscles, then there's the, station where they check your vision, and they checked my vision with my glasses on, and I remember I said to the guy, I said, Sergeant, you need to know that without my glasses, I can't see anything. And I think his next words were, next! It's like, move on, move on. It meant nothing. Yeah. It's like, you're good to go. Now, the other thing I saw was at the urine station where several guys at one time went behind a curtain and were all told to pee in a cup. So let's say there are 10 or 12 guys and you're all standing there with your wieners in a cup peeing. And I actually saw guys who would, if they looked at another guy and his urine was like reddish or horrible looking, he'd move his cup under that guy's penis. He'd go, give me some of that. Because they thought it looked like the guy might have some kind of horrible kidney problem or something. And they wanted some of his urine, thinking that it might cause him not to be taken. I mean, there were people who tried all kind. Here's my best story. This is a guy I actually went to high school with, and I didn't find out until later when he actually told the story. He went in and did not want to go to Vietnam. So somebody told him, right or wrong, if you'll take a bunch of aspirin before you go down for the physical, your blood pressure will go way up, and you'll be exempt for high blood pressure. So he did. He took, I don't know, 20, 30, whatever.
Oh, my God. Then he had them in his pocket.
He had them in his pocket ready to go. And so, you know, half an hour or so before, he takes all these aspirin.
Oh.
They check his blood pressure, approved, good to go, and he goes to Vietnam. Now, he's injured in Vietnam, and it's not, you know, he didn't lose a limb, but it was bad enough that they said, you're headed home, because he couldn't continue to do his duty with the injury he's had. And he said that in the either being transported by ambulance or on the plane or whatever, as they're getting him ready to go back to the States, they're giving him a quick once-over before he heads out, the quick physical, just check him out, make sure he's good to travel. And he said a medic looked at him and said, man, how did you ever get in the military? He says, what do you mean? He said, you have extremely low blood pressure. What he had done is he had elevated his blood pressure to normal. He didn't know he had low blood pressure. So by taking the aspirin, he actually made his blood pressure, it put it in an acceptable range.
Oh.
And he said he didn't know till that moment that he'd ever had low blood pressure. If he had just gone and had them check his blood pressure and seen how low it was, he'd have never had to go over there. Now, I'm sure there are thousands of great stories. Who's next here? Stan or Bob? What do we got?
Stan.
Okay, let's go to Stan. Stan, thank you for waiting. Welcome to 590 The Fan. How are you?
I am good, Frank. How are you and the gang?
Let me check.
How we doing?
Doing all right.
Doing all right, Stan. What's up?
Well, first, I'm AM and the PM, of course.
That's good. It's a good thing.
Can you hear me okay? Because I'm driving.
We can hear you. YouTube, no, so we can hear you. We can hear you perfectly.
What?
Dan, don't do that to him.
Who?
That's the humor of Dan Strauss.
Hey, I want to say something quick that I didn't actually call for, but I graduated high school in 79, and I got to tell you, when you talk about the military, it was so interesting after Vietnam because nobody I knew that I grew up with, high school, anybody that I knew, even acquaintances, went into the military because in 79, there just weren't any recruiters. Nobody came to our school. I knew nothing about it.
Right. War was over. Vietnam War was over. Yeah. There was no big conflict, really. Yeah.
But I also think, and I think you brought this up before, I really wish our forefathers would have at least demanded that anybody between any able body between the ages of 18 and 30 have to spend at least 1 year in the military to some degree. It could even be in their own town, in a branch, at a recruitment. Just, I think that would have been a good idea a long time ago.
Let's go back to the hypothetical but never will happen situation of me running the country. If I ran the country, every man and woman between the ages of somewhere between 18 and 25 would have to serve this country for, you said, a year. Okay, we'll go with a year. Not just men, but everybody. In some capacity, in whatever capacity you are able to serve. And I think if they're in the system for about a year, one, I think our military system would be better for it, and I think people would be better for it and have a better understanding
of what that's all about.
What if they're
and some countries, Israel, I think you have to do that. I think it's
Israel, you do. Finland, you have to do as well.
Yeah. What if they're paying? I don't see how it could hurt.
What if they're paying gender and they don't identify as either?
Still going in.
Yeah, I don't give a crap if you're transgender, bigender, pangender. That won't cut it. You're going to do something for this country. I don't care whether you know what your own genitals are or not. You are going to serve the country. You want to be equal? Put on the uniform, go to work. So,
Stan, I agree too. Well, that's not why I called, but let me ask you a question. Have you talked about any? I want to switch subjects just because, hey, it's 4:30. We're talking about for a half hour, so we'll talk about something else for a minute.
Okay.
Did anybody ever talk to you about that poker hand you were talking about where you ended up dropping your last $200 and everybody folded?
I had four queens.
Yes.
Yeah. No. I mean, what do you mean?
Okay.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Okay. I play a lot of cards, Frank. I think I can make you feel much better. Okay.
Okay. Okay.
First off, because you've been thinking about this for how many years? It's bugged you. How many years?
Yeah, it's been bugging me for about 35, almost 40 years. Yeah, 35 years. Yeah.
Okay, so you were playing 7-card stud, right?
Correct.
Was that 2 down, 4 up, and 1 down?
I don't remember. I don't remember. No.
Because you don't really play 7 stud with just 7 cards in your hand. There's different ways to play it. We have cards up. So my point, very easy, and this will make you feel better, especially if it was 4 down, because I'm almost sure it was. You had 2 queens down. You had 2 queens up, most likely. Okay? That gave you your 4 queens by the time you were done. Right?
Okay.
Let's just assume that.
Right.
You don't have to be a brain surgeon. I'm telling you, if nobody could have beat those queens, no matter what you threw in, they're going to fold. So nobody even could have beaten your queens, and I bet anything that's why they did it. So there, I hope that makes you feel better.
If I remember, Stan, I think I was holding 5 cards that they couldn't see. It was 7-card draw or something. So in other words, maybe it was 5-card.
Oh.
5-card. But I was holding those. No one else could see those cards.
Okay.
That's a whole different deal. That's a different deal. Now I should feel bad. No, now you have to admit, I should feel horrible, and it still should be eating me.
You just have a great poker face.
I have a horrible poker face. Yeah,
no, Frank,
I didn't
realize that if you were just playing 5-card draw where you got 5 cards and you throw away, you know, up to 3 cards and get 3 cards back or whatever, and you ended up with 4 queens, then you really screwed it up.
Yeah, and Stan, wouldn't you admit if you had 4 queens, you bet the farm, you go for it, because the chances of somebody else having 4 kings or 4 aces or royal flush, slim to none. Go for it. I didn't even get a chance to go for it. Boy, I was so upset.
When you watch World Series of Poker, they always it's always the betting that their faces are stone, but it's
and
how
Stan,
they bet.
Stan, it is because of that traumatic night in Las Vegas. I'm not kidding. I have never in all these years sat at a poker table again, ever, in a casino, ever. I'm not going to do it.
Wow.
Too painful. Stan, thank you for the call.
All right. Have a great day, everybody.
You too. Bye-bye. Stan's a poker player. I'm not. Not after that. Bob is next. Bob, welcome to 590 The Fan. How are you?
I'm doing great. Amen to PM.
Thank you.
Hey, I got a couple things.
Okay.
You know, you were talking about Ferguson earlier and how everybody was treated and that family getting all that money. What about the poor cop that was falsely accused and his life is ruined forever? Can't even get his own job. Never hear anything about him.
Darren Wilson. I know Darren Wilson.
Yeah.
I know where he is, and I know what he does for a living. And you make a great point. He gets zero. Michael Brown's family gets a couple of $1 million, and the poor Darren Wilson has to wonder if he's going to have to just change his name and identity and live in another part of the world. He has no clue what's in store for him. Or if he's going to get gunned down somewhere, or his house is going to be bombed. No, that's a great point. But nobody seems to ever want to think about that.
Yeah, you think that the city should be paying him off, too, for what he went through. No support. it's that.
And what about this? What about the scumbag that made up the hands up thing, which was absolutely proven not to be true? Oh. Where's that guy, and why isn't the whole world mad at him? Because he really is the reason that everything went to hell. That hands up, don't you? They still do that. They still chant that in other cities now. It never happened. And that guy, to me, is completely responsible for 80% of the mess that got us in, at least.
I agree.
And where is he? Oh, remember, the city gave him a job. Remember that?
Oh, that's right.
Yep. Gave him a job.
Yeah.
And he couldn't even keep that job. Good point, Bob. Thank you. Appreciate the call.
Well, can I got two more things I could say?
Yeah, you say whatever you want.
Oh, that's, well, you probably don't want
Well, that. Except the F word. No, you can't say the F word. And you can't say the C. You can't say the C word for women, and you can't say the F word or the MF word. Otherwise, go ahead.
One thing to be proud of is my daughter is down in Texas. She's got about 2 weeks left to graduate the police academy there. So I'm very proud of her doing that. The other thing is I come from a very long line of military families, and very proud of my son who's an Iraq veteran. And you know, he's another one that doesn't brag. Most military people, like my family, they don't brag on what we did. You know, I did nothing special in the military, but that kid's my hero.
Yeah, well, the ones who do brag either are lying and didn't do anything, and they're what they call stolen valor. Yeah, they're fake officers, or the ones who brag were there, but they've exaggerated and embellished what they did so much that it's just basically a lie. Because you're right, the people who really, whose stories should be heard, seldom tell them.
You know,
they just keep it to themselves.
Fort Hood, you know, he gets to do all his religious beliefs. They accommodate him as a Muslim, what I've been told. I can't confirm that. But he gets everything he wants as far as the Muslim. You know, he can grow a beard. He doesn't have to wear a uniform. He doesn't have to conform like the other prisoners.
Well, there's a word for that. It's BS is the short term for that word. And I know that in America, we're well known for letting people exercise their religious belief. But when you murder, 13 military people on an army base, and you are a member of our armed forces, to me, you lose not only your life, but prior to losing your life, you lose every right or privilege you would normally have had as a citizen. I think that is nonsense.
Totally agree, Frank. I appreciate everything you do, military and the cops.
If I run for president, will you vote for me?
Absolutely.
Okay. Not going to happen, but it feels good to know that. Thank you, Bob.
Goodbye.
All right. Who would do that, run for president?
I don't know. I wouldn't want that job.
No. We get a lot of calls. Again, you're driving this, folks. I'm not the engineer on this train. You're directing and leading the subject matter. 855-282-8255. Or 314-821-0590. Will, you're up next. Welcome to 590 The Fan. How are you?
I'm doing great, Frank, AM and the PM.
Thank you.
I turned 17 in boot camp, and I couldn't start for 2 weeks because they had a death during that time. They were investigating. The guy had a bad heart. But I'll never forget the experience, Frank, because I got to work on, after I finished my basic training and went to Aberdeen Proving Grounds, I got to work on everything under the sun in this building. We trained on quarter ton, deuce and a half. I even got to pull the power pack out of the A1 Abram. You talk about rush. I'm a gearhead anyway.
Yeah, I can tell.
So, but here's the thing. In training, the instructor was training us on the 225 slant 6 and the 318 V8. My stepdad, Big Willie, ever since I was a kid, I was under the hood with him. And there wasn't nothing I didn't know about a Chrysler. And he would trick the motor, and we'd have to turn around, and he'd say, okay, make it run. I'd have it running in 30 seconds.
Wow.
He'd take the out or pull the ballast or whatever. And I frustrated the guy because it seemed like I knew more than my instructor. And then he pulled me to the side one day and asked me, how come I know so much? And I told him about my dad. And he served in the service in Germany. And he worked in the motor pool, and he said it was so cold there that they didn't shut the diesels off. They had one guy on top pouring oil in, and another guy on the bottom watching the color change, and he'd put the plug in.
Well, I don't, and I don't have to tell you. You know 100 times more about motors than I do. Diesels love heat; they hate cold. Diesel engines hate cold.
Said if they ever died, they would never get them start them again.
No, I made the mistake in my life of owning 3 diesel cars. Remember in the 80s when GM made the brilliant decision to convert a bunch of Cadillacs and Oldsmobiles and Buicks to diesel engines?
Yes, sir, like the 4100, because I worked part-time with Jim Lynch replacing a lot of those.
Well, I remember going out to start my car on a cold St. Louis morning, and forget it, it was not going to start. And if you ever finally did get it started, it was so sluggish that diesel turns to gel. It turns to like jelly in the cold.
The other thing, the problem they had, it just didn't have enough battery and alternator power.
No.
Those days wouldn't get enough to get it pre-started. So.
Yeah. And I wish I knew as much about that stuff as you do. In my next life, I'm going to learn a thing or two about engines. I always wish...
My stepdad, the daddy didn't have to be. I owe a lot to him, and I owe a lot to the service for the things I know. I still remember my tactical training for combat. All that stuff comes in handy. You never lose it.
You know what I wish I remember? You know what I wish I remember? One, I wish I'd kept my motor pool military driver's license, because I actually had to get a license because, get this, my assignment at one point was to drive a general around. You talk about nervous, like you're going to do the wrong thing. It was in a Jeep. And I had to drive this general to all his different appointments for like 2 or 3 days. I'm going to tell you something. I was so glad when that was over, because I thought, if I screw this up, holy, this guy's a general. He couldn't have been nicer, and it really was just nothing to it, but I just kept thinking, oh, man, don't make a wrong turn. Don't say the wrong thing. Don't get too casual or friendly with this guy. Blah, blah, blah. All this stuff kept running through my head. And, you know, the other thing is I just wish that I had, I don't know, I wish I'd learned to drive a, I don't know why, but like a tank or something. I don't even know why. I just think it'd be cool if I'd done it.
It's a rush, man. But it's funny you should say that, because everybody had to pull CQ duty at one time or another in AIT training. Because
right.
You had school, and after that, 5 o'clock, was the rest of the day was yours. So we'd go to the Flamingo Club or something like that, or you had CQ. Well, it just so happened no one could drive a stick that night, and when I had CQ duty, I drove the commander around. And this guy ran a stop sign, and to keep from getting hit, I downshifted and I floored it and I got out of the way, and then we went down a ravine and come back up. I was his driver for the rest of the time I was there.
You know what I would like? You know what I'd like to own? I'd love to own a 40s era actual military Jeep, and you can buy them. You can buy them. I'd love to have one.
Or you can have one, a replica made.
Yeah, I'd like to actually have the real thing. Wouldn't quite be the same. Hey, man, thank you for the call, Will. I appreciate it.
I appreciate your show. You guys are a cut up.
Thank you. Don't hear that very often. Did he say we cut one? No, he said you cut one. I think Dan cut one. That's what I heard him say. Let me get to Mike. Mike, welcome to 590 The Fan. It's all yours. What's up?
Frank and the gang, how you doing?
Great, Mike. Hey, how are you? Thanks for having a better radio voice than we have, except maybe for Dan.
Okay.
what's going on?
This is my favorite vet story ever. I meant Limey. Start googling.
No, that would be Tim. He's head of research. Yeah. Tim would do that.
Okay, head of research. Okay, well, I'll have to think of a name here, because I'd have to look at my phone while I'm talking. I'm not that talented. Norman Rigsby, Riggsby. I'm at the VA hospital with my brother in Kerrsville, Texas, about a week ago. He's going in for a hearing test. I'm sitting there waiting on him. He leaves. The receptionist leaves. I'm sitting there by myself. This old guy comes up on a walker. He's got a World War II hat on. Sits down next to me. His daughter and son-in-law leave him to go down and get something to eat while I wait for receptions. I put down my phone, stop looking at porn, and start talking to the guy. And he says, and the guy, it was the most amazing conversation. He's 92 or 94 years old. Landed on D-Day. Was 17 when he went in. I think he survived the landing, but they were... if you read the stories, and there's a dozen of them, and he was interviewed by Time Magazine, like within the last few years, I think.
Wow.
He takes a shell, and if I can't remember if it was from a Tiger tank, whatever exploded next to him, wrecked his stomach. He was in a coma for 15 days, survived, obviously. And then he, when he got back in good enough shape, they weren't going to send him back out of combat. So he tells me they shipped over some 1943 Harleys, and he was made an MP and went running around the countryside on a 43 Harley as an MP, trying to either catch Germans that were trying to leave or POWs. I mean, the guy had so many stories for me that it was unbelievable. After that, he was with Patton. He said he was an SOB. After wow. that, he was at the Nuremberg trials. He told me the name of the German general that was there when he was there, and he just went on and on, and I couldn't believe it.
That's what a life. What a life.
Holy
I mean,
moly.
Really. What a life. What really. Stories.
Wow. He built his own house there in Kerrsville from ground up. These will be in some of the stories. There's a dozen of them, like I said, if you Google them. And the reason he was at the hospital, not only for a hearing test, but with the walker, is because he went out feeding the deer in the hills. Kerrsville is a Texas hill country, so the only spot where they actually have any hills, I think. He's out feeding deer, falls on a rock or something. He broke his leg. I don't think it was his hip. Was out there for 2 days, this is in July, with the heat net, crawling back to his house.
Holy cow.
92 years old.
Wow.
So, here's a guy. Know, here's, I thought when he told me this. Go ahead.
Here's a guy with a wealth of stories and a life that could keep us all riveted if we watched a TV reality show of it or a documentary of it for hours and hours and hours. Yet we choose to make stars out of the Kardashians.
Oh, that's true. And this guy's still got a sense of humor. I asked him, I said, okay. I said, what do you know, what hurt worse? The round that, you know, took out some of your stomach or crawling back to your house for 2 days? And he starts giggling. He says, well, you know, I'm not sure. He says, I was out for 15 days and went around to my stomach, so I'm guessing to crawl back to my house.
Wow.
I can't even imagine being that tough or surviving all that stuff.
No.
I would never have made it. Mike, thanks for the call.
Okay, talk to you later. Bye.
I appreciate it. Somebody asked me the other day, I don't even know why it came up. They said, how do you think you would have fared if you had gone into battle? I said, I think it lasts like a day. I mean, if I were a cop, and sometimes I think maybe I should have been a cop. Maybe, I don't know, maybe I should have. But then I think, nah, I'm not tough enough. Or maybe the word's not tough. I don't have what I think you should have to be a cop, that ability to not lash back or not respond or retaliate under certain conditions, but to be able to go into the line of fire in other conditions. I just don't know. And you know what? I don't guess you ever will know until you're there, until you have to. Because they say, there's a great saying, adversity introduces us to ourselves. You don't really know who you are or what you're capable of doing until you have to do it. And that's when you find out. Debbie, you've been very patient. Thank you. Welcome to 590 The Fan. How are you?
Hi, how you doing?
Terrific.
Good. This is something for your head of research.
Okay,
you
Tim,
guys were talking about the Ferguson and the shootings and the hands up and, you know, don't shoot thing.
Right.
And there was a young man that stood out in those crowds, and, you know, he came across as trying to get all that, you know, reduced and trying to get everybody together. And then they appointed him to some kind of city council.
You talking about Antonio Brown? Is that who it was?
Maybe. And then he got gunned down by some gang.
Wow.
No way.
See? How about that? How about that? Where's the money for his family?
Now there was a different story that there was a protester out there who was trying to do the same thing, like remain peaceful and all that, and just trying to make sure that everybody didn't clash with the police or stuff like that. He was found out shot in a burned out vehicle. And
that's
was
the one I'm thinking of.
Is that the one you're thinking of? I don't remember his name.
That's the one I'm thinking of. Yeah, and then they appointed him to some kind of a council for the rebirth of the Ferguson area. And yes, and that's the guy that got shot and burned in his car.
Yeah. See, bad guys, they don't like anybody messing up their agenda.
Right.
They don't appreciate that. They'll just kill you. Yeah. Well, thank you for the reminder of that. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right, Debbie.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Mike is next. Mike, welcome to 590 The Fan. What's up?
Hello, guys. How are you?
Hello. Good. Good.
AM and the PM.
Thank you.
So I want you guys, if you get a chance, and you may have heard of this guy. He's been like a talk show, radio personality, TV. Goes back to maybe the 70s and 80s. Still does. He like writes books and stuff. His name is Ross Schaefer. S-H-A-F-E-R. You guys got to listen to this guy. Like, you might have to listen to a couple of different videos of him. He sounds exactly like Bill Cleveland. Exactly like him. And I know you guys like to make fun of Bill, so I thought I'd give you a little,
But what if it is? Like, what if it is Bill Cleveland using the name Ross Schaefer?
Well, you never know, but you got to pull him up. I'm serious, and it might take one or two. But where I could really hear his voice is this guy used to do. And trust me, I'm not that bored. But I found like it was like a Gilligan's Island reunion on TV, and he was the host of it. And he sounds. I thought it was him because I didn't see the video at first.
You know what?
And
I'll check it out. No, I'll
you
check
guys
him out.
Pull it up.
I will. I'll listen. Ross, and spell his last name again. S H
S C H.
Yeah. S H A F E R. Just like Shaver, but no V. It's an F. As in.
Got it. Got it. S H A F E R. And Limey, you can pull it up too. And I'd like to know what you think. We'll put a few sets of ears on it, and we'll find out maybe that either Bill is stealing from Ross Schaefer or Ross Schaefer is copying Bill. One or the other.
All right.
We'll get to the bottom of it. All right.
I'm sure Bill's stealing from him. Anyway.
Probably.
Anyway,
thank you, Mike.
All right. Have a great night. Thanks, guys.
Thank you. I'm kind of glad we did. Dan, I know you said, let's just do it on the Veterans Day, but obviously a lot of people wanted to jump in here with stuff, and time will fly by so fast, and by the time our show is over Veterans Day at 6 o'clock, Veterans Day is over, and maybe the opportunity to get people thinking about it is later than it should be. So we'll do both. We'll do the songs we always do on Veterans Day, but I was never really ever in harm's way because of the way that I served in the Army Reserve, except for one time. And I'm not going to retell that story where somebody had decided that they wanted to kill me inside the confines of Fort Jackson, South Carolina. It's a long story, but he had decided it was time to take me out, and he showed me that he had the ammo to do it, and that's maybe about as scared as I've ever been. But there's another thing that happened that I don't care what level you served in, you can't not come out with stories if you were in any form of the military. And I was never an officer because I didn't have a college degree, and I wasn't the first lieutenant, second lieutenant. I was just a lowly private, and then corporal, and then specialist. So the officers get special treatment. They have their own different section in the mess hall, and if you have KP, kitchen police, you might end up serving the officers. They're the country club members, sort of. They have the officers' club, and they had dances, and I told this story a couple times over the years. I don't even know what possessed me to do this, but a friend of mine who was in basic training with me found out that they were going to have this luau at the officers' club, and they had a pig roast and Hawaiian music and sport coats. It was like a nice deal. We couldn't go because we're just in the. I don't even remember how he or I got a hold of a couple of sport coats. I have no memory of how we did it, but we snuck in and pretended to be officers in the military. This is a dangerous thing to do, by the way. And I remember we got in there, and there's some really good-looking girls there, the daughters of colonels and stuff. And I'm thinking, man, this is, and I told my buddy, this is fantastic. And we went over, and we're at the buffet, and we're sampling hors d'oeuvres and some of the pork from the road, the barb, the pig, and oh, it was great. Drinks, except for the fact that we weren't supposed to be there. We were not officers, and you do not want to get busted. And you make general chit-chat and try to avoid any long-term conversation with anybody because you're going to get tripped up. The captain of our unit was at this dance. And from across the dance floor, it was a lot of people, I caught him staring at me. Now, he was only used to seeing me in army fatigues, not in a sport coat. And I turned to my friend. I said, uh-oh. I said, look over there. You know who that is? He goes, oh, my God. It's Captain whatever his name was. And I said, we got about 5 seconds to get out of here. And he stood up and was making his way toward us. And he and I managed somehow to get out of that building. And this is one of the few times in my life that I actually ran, like a runner would, you know, like, because you, when you're scared. And we ran, holy cow. And as we're running, we're taking these sport coats off and ditching. I mean, we couldn't get out of there fast enough. And I wonder sometimes what would have happened to me if he had caught us, taken us to the colonel and said, these guys, because it's impersonating an officer. We'd have probably had court-martialed, dishonorable discharge or whatever, but, man, was it fun for a few minutes. It was such a great break and such a great departure from just having to be a, you know, like a grunt in basic training. And KP, it's my understanding now that for years there's not been any KP. It's civilians who work in the mess hall. And I that's kind of a good thing, because that's something you didn't want was KP. KP was a punishment for something you'd done, and I got it like 3 or 4 times. And it was a 16-hour nonstop working in the kitchen in the hot mess hall, and you could only take a break to go to the bathroom, 16 straight hours. And when it was over, you were beat. But, man, did I learn how to peel potatoes. I can peel potatoes, because that's one of the things you end up doing. Peel potatoes and washing dishes and slapping food on plates, and it was something I don't particularly want to do again, but I'm kind of glad that I did it. And that's the extent of my not war stories, but Army stories. There are a couple of others I'll save for another time, like throwing a hand grenade. That's an interesting thing to do. Because that little hand grenade, which will fit in your hand, can blow your whole house up. That's the most powerful thing you'll ever have in your hand. And throwing it, you will never in your life know how much ability you have and how far you can throw anything until you get rid of that thing. Because you will throw it far beyond what you ever thought you were capable of throwing anything. Because you want to get it as far away as you can. And then you hit the deck and you just hear, and there's a dirt flies up and there's a crater in the ground you could park 6 cars in. Hand grenades are nasty. So when you hear about a soldier who throws himself on a hand grenade to save his fellow soldiers, that is a hero. Because when it goes off, there's not a trace of him. He's gone. There's nothing left. He's just vaporizes. So to all of you veterans, and especially, not even especially, equal, but you Vietnam veterans, I guess I'm glad I don't know more about what you went through, because it would it'd bother me, I think, knowing that anybody had to go through that. So thank you. Veterans Day is Monday, not today. And now in the next hour, we'll just get everything back to normal. We will have the... Where's Bill today? Does anybody know?
I don't know. I think he might be going to Georgia, or he's still in South Carolina.
He told us, and I forgot.
I think he's going to Georgia, but I did find this guy. He hosted Match Game. And he sounds just like Bill.
Really?
Yes.
Ross Schaefer?
Yes. Here, I can play.
Wait, did he host? Okay, go ahead.
Just a little bit of it.
Having a ball, hosting TV's Match Game.
Here he is.
That's why they know they have come to one provocative show.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my goodness.
This is a comedy show disguised.
Is that crazy?
No, no. That's Bill's little-known twin brother. I'm not kidding.
I know.
That guy was right. That does sound exactly. He's got another gig. An actual real, probably good-paying gig. Yeah. We may have to grill him on this when he comes on later. All right, we're going to get out of here, and when we come back, we'll have the Playhouse after Tim has the news. It's 5 o'clock at 590 The Fan.
This is Martin Kilcoyne. You're listening to 590 The Fan, KFNS, Wood River, and 590thefan.com. St. Louis, the home of Budweiser.
NBC News Radio, I'm Brian Shook. The White House is reacting to the ongoing release of impeachment depositions. Press Secretary Stephanie Grisham says President Trump hasn't done anything wrong and the depositions show less evidence for this illegitimate impeachment scam. The depositions cover hours and hours of testimony from current and former officials in the Trump administration. The Senate Minority Leader is